That's right, we've got a long time to go in that galaxy far, far away. It's Star Wars podcasting here on Post Show Recaps. A long time to go. Get it? Because it's like a long time ago. You get it. Anyway, I'm Josh Wigler. I am your host here on this brand new Star Wars adventure. Oh my goodness, can you even believe? We are going to be talking about so much Star Wars that your midichlorian counts are good. I'm not even going to do that. We're about to get into a lot of the midichlorian stuff, so why don't we just save that for further down the line until we absolutely have to get there, which unfortunately is a week from now. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So I'm so excited that you're here. I assume you're here. You're listening to these words. You're hearing me talking to you, Josh Wigley, to you, whoever you are, as we are embarking on a long time to go. And what is this podcast? Perhaps you know a little thing or two about it because you were listening to the Mandalorian podcast coverage we were doing on Post Show Recaps while season two was a thing on Disney Plus in 2020. But perhaps you are just wandering into this for the first time. Perhaps you've heard like, oh, heard there's a new, they're doing some weird Star Wars things over there in that strange neighborhood of the internet known as Post Show Recaps. Well, we are. We are both strange and we are doing Star Wars things. So let me tell you what we're doing. It's a long time to go. In this galaxy far, far away, Star Wars, all things Star Wars, regular Star Wars shenanigans on Post Show Recaps. That's right. The shenanigans are so real that we're saying shenanigans, as in Anakin Skywalker. I cannot lay claim to that joke. Someone on Twitter hit me up with that, and I cannot identify that person for the life of me. I've been trying to find you, scrolling through the Menchies. So if it was you, please bump that tweet. I would love to give you proper credit. Shenanigans are afoot here on A Long Time to Go. Over the course of this podcast, what we're going to be doing, it's the next several months. Basically, we're scheduled out throughout 2021. We're going to be going in chronological order through the biggest Star Wars pieces of pop culture. We're talking movies. We're talking cartoons. We're talking the prequels. We're talking cartoons. We're talking standalone movies, original trilogy. Maybe not the new trilogy for a while. We'll get there probably at some point in time, but not this year is the plan. We're going to be going in chronological order. Every month is going to pertain to a different corner of the Star Wars universe. We're going to have different podcasts with a ton of different hosts throughout this series. People who are huge Star Wars nerds, people who are moderate Star Wars nerds, people who are just now encountering Star Wars for the very first time. It's going to be fun. We'll get serious. I'm sure we're going to have takes that are going to make you furious. You're going to get mad. But hopefully, more than anything, we are going to make you glad. As far as programming and things for you to start planning on right now, this is your intro episode. Just a quick hi, how are you? It's just me and you. We're just hanging out. Just giving you a little bit of the lay of the land. The outer rim of podcast universe, as we're going to be making all sorts of weird references along the way. I apologize for that in advance. In fact, actually, I take it back. I apologize for nothing. There's nothing to be sorry about. We all love Star Wars, and we're just going to do the Star Wars stuff as we go through. We're talking Phantom Menace next week. Speaking of things that I'm not going to apologize for, we're going through all of this in chronological order, which means we are beginning with the prequels, which means we're beginning with Episode 1, which means we're beginning with Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, 1999 classic. And we're going to be in Phantom Menace territory all month long. It's going to be all of January is The Phantom Menace. All of next month, February, Attack of the Clones, so on and so forth. You get it. We'll let you know the exact schedule as we go. You can always hit me up if you want the spoilers. I'd like it to be kind of fun. I'd like it to be something that you're discovering as we go here. But next week, we are diving head on in to The Phantom Menace. And I'm so pumped about this. The structure of this thing is, as I said, rotating guests. We're going to have so many different types of people who are talking about Star Wars, whether they really love it, whether they're very new to it, everybody in between, people who've watched every single thing, read every single thing, people who've watched almost none of it, read none of it, are encountering Star Wars for the first time, because this is a fun universe, and I think that this is a fun platform for people to get to explore all things Star Wars, even if it's for the first time. But who we're speaking with next week is no novice to the Star Wars world, perhaps is not quite the expert in all things Star Wars, but is certainly an expert podcaster, is a voice you have heard so much, whether it's on Rob Has a Podcast or here on Post Show Recaps. He's going to be a monthly partner in crime for me. Every single time we get into a new project, you're going to hear from this guy that first week of every single month. It's your boy, Rob Cesternino. The Jedi Master to my podcasting Padawan, Rob Cesternino, is going to be joining me next week to recap The Phantom Menace. We're going to go through the entire thing. We're going to run through The Phantom Menace. We're going to tell you everything that happens in The Phantom Menace. Maybe you don't want to rewatch The Phantom Menace and you just want to hear us talk about The Phantom Menace. Well, we'll do that. We're going to do that. It's going to be super fun and probably very stupid, and I'm very, very stupid excited to get into that next week. So that podcast is going to be dropping in your feed on January 14th. Keep an eye out for that, and then more Phantom Menace coverage to come over the course of this month, including a feedback show, an analysis show. So get that feedback in. We want it. Star Wars at PostShowRecaps.com. That's Star Wars at PostShowRecaps.com. You can, of course, also hit us up in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, which you can sign up for at Patreon.com/PostShowRecaps. I have come to find that our Star Wars channels, our Star Wars discussions in the Discord, have been some of the most invigorating bits of Star Wars content that I have encountered in, God, a very, 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 very long time. So I highly encourage you to do this. If you're excited about this adventure and you want to talk to like-minded people, it's a very civil place for the most part. Sometimes it gets contentious, but we're always able to reel ourselves back in as we're talking all things Star Wars. So join the Discord if that sounds fun to you. Really lively conversations that I'm sure we are going to be helped along the way as we are going here through Star Wars by the members of the Discord with their feedback. And how about this for further incentive to join the Post Show Recaps patron Discord? This coming Saturday, that's January 9th, as of this recording at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, I will be in there and I will be watching The Phantom Menace. You can watch The Phantom Menace with me. I'll be live watching episode one of Star Wars, making comments, making all sorts of strange observations. I'll tell you all about my fandom as it pertains to The Phantom Menace. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in specific in just a second. But if it sounds like a fun time at the movies for you, and you're looking out for a fun viewing experience and a way to crack into Phantom Menace, and you want some Wiggler commentary to go with it, I recommend it. We've had a lot of fun watch-alongs in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. This is sure to be high on the list of the more ridiculous ones we've done. So check that out. Phantom Menace live watch. This will not be a podcast. It's not recorded. You have to be there Saturday, January 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern in the Discord. So patreon.com/postshowrecaps. So I think as we're moving forward, I feel like, so I'm going to be here every time, you know, rotating guests, but I'll be here. Am I your force ghost who just like, you can't exercise me. I won't go anywhere. You can try, but I'll be like, imagine like Patrick Swayze from Ghost, but with Jedi powers. I am going to just be singing in your bedroom with all of these different podcasts as we go through a long time to go here. You can't get rid of me. You may as well come to work with me. But because that's the case, I want to make sure that I lay out my credentials. Let me give you the takes of where I am as a Star Wars fan, as the person who's going to be guiding this ship forward through the next several months. So I'm a millennial, as I don't know if that's taboo anymore, if we're cool on millennials these days. I think a bunch of us are, so we got to group together and accept each other. But I am not one of those people who was alive to see Star Wars in theaters when it first came out. I was born 2 years after the arrival of Return of the Jedi, and as I was starting to like grow up and become a kid who was watching a decent amount of TV and like movie reruns that were on television, it just so happened that Return of the Jedi was the first Star Wars that I caught. And talking that through right now, I'm struggling to think of, like, is it because it was on TV, or was it a rental from our local library? Either way, I know Return of the Jedi was the first Star Wars we ever saw, because I have it indelibly ingrained in my memory banks. Luke Skywalker walking into Jabba's palace with the green lightsaber, just the confidence, the quiet, quiet bravado as he took on this slimy hut named Jabba, and that there was obviously so much mythology that was there that I didn't quite understand, but I was just so hooked in through Luke specifically. And then they get to Endor, and there's the Ewoks and stuff, and I'm single digit at this point, so I'm digging the Ewoks, and I'm loving the adventure, and I'm feeling the emotion that's going on between Luke and Darth Vader as they're doing all of that confrontation. And Return of the Jedi, for all of these reasons, I think is always going to be at the very top of my Star Wars rankings. Like, there's just no way for me to get objective about it. I understand the arguments. Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie ever. Don't at me. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not even going to fight you saying, like, A New Hope. That's where this whole thing started. How could you vote against it? That's great. That's fine. And I know that, like, there's, like, a little bit of pushback on Return of the Jedi about the Ewoks and stuff. Whatever. I love them. I love Wicket. I love the whole crew. I love 3PO doing the big speech and telling the story and levitating in the chair with the Jedi mind trick from Luke. I love the whole thing, the scene on the bridge, everything about Return of the Jedi. That's my thing. That is where Star Wars and my love for Star Wars began, and very specifically through Luke as a character. So it's not a hard question for me when it comes to who's your favorite character in the Star Wars universe. It's sort of like the basic B answer, but I stand by it, and I come by it earnestly. It's very much Luke Skywalker. And I think my love for Return of the Jedi, which then translated to going back and checking out everything else. And I'll tell you, a very interesting way of encountering Star Wars is to start with Return of the Jedi Luke, and then go back and see him as a moisture farmer on Tatooine in A New Hope. It was a very strange, whiplashy moment of like, oh, well, that's not the guy. This dude kind of sucks. He's very whiny. He's just complaining about everything. And obviously I've come to like totally accept that and love that as the starting point of his arc. It was whiplashy at the time, but not so much that it curbed any of the love that I was having for the thing. And once I started to see that movie and then Empire and how it fit into Return of the Jedi and like started to make sense of everything that I had seen in that first movie as such a young kid, I was just really, really, really in. And Star Wars was like a big part of my life in, you know, the very early years of me, Josh Wigler, becoming a nerd, in elementary school, getting closer towards middle school era for me. I remember like the Kenner toys, like the Kenner re-releases in the 90s. And then they started trotting out the prequel toys, and I ate those up, and I'll get to that in a second. But I was also into, the tie-in novels, not all of them. I really wish that I'd gotten into the Thrawn trilogy, which I know is now more relevant than ever, as Thrawn, who is this For those who don't know, there's a whole bunch of series of books that take place after Return of the Jedi before the new trilogy was ever really even a twinkle in the eye as far as it being a reality. And one of those is the Thrawn trilogy, and it's this new bad guy, Grand Admiral Thrawn, heir to the Empire, all of that stuff. I always wanted to read them. They felt too daunting. It was always like an I'll get to it. I would still be interested to get to it if people think that it would be worthwhile, even now that it's not officially canon. I know that Grand Admiral Thrawn, who has been name-dropped in The Mandalorian, is very clearly going to be a part of Disney's plans for Star Wars moving forward, but it's a different version. I know he also appears in Star Wars Rebels, an animated series that I'm looking forward to getting to that I have not yet gotten to. If you think that I should, it's not too late and I should go back and check out the Thrawn trilogy, I could be convinced. But mine were like the short story stuff. I love Tales of the Bounty Hunters, Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, Tales from Jabba's Palace. And these were books that were loaded with all of these additional character details for like people that you saw in the background from those movies, like the Rancor Keeper. I remember a very great chapter in Tales from Jabba's Palace, or Tales of the Bounty Hunter, which is where I got to learn about my boy Dengar. Love Dengar. When's Dengar going to show up in live action again? Book of Boba? We looking out for a Dengar show? I don't know about a Dengar show, but I feel like Book of Boba Dengar appearance feels like a missed opportunity. Unless there's like another ancillary thing that I've missed and things have not worked out for Dengar. I don't know. Shadows of the Empire was huge. Shadows of the Empire was this book that was written that takes place in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It's got the smuggler Dash Rendar. If I remember the way that he was rendered in the book, a bit of a coward, a little bit craven, a little bit of a coward. But my memory of it is a little bit thin, unfortunately. But of course, I remember the video game. Nintendo 64, Shadows of the Empire was probably the Star Wars video game that I played the most in my life, with the exception of Star Wars Battlefront, which was huge for me in college. And my college roommates and I used to just destroy each other in Battlefront. Very, very fun time. But Shadows of the Empire was probably like around that time when that was coming out for Nintendo 64, was the most amped up on Star Wars I was up to that point. Read that book, loved the book, read a few of the X-Wing books. It's the whole series of X-Wing that I got to imagine that the new movie from Patty Jenkins that's going to be coming out in a couple of years, Rogue Squadron, I got to imagine that it's taking some cues from here. Maybe not. Would be disappointing to not get your guy Coran Horn or Tycho Selchu on screen at some point in time. I just say those names because I remember them very deeply, and I remember like a few of the other characters from this universe, like Mara Jade, Jason Solo, but I don't really remember anything that happens with any of these characters. You'd have to jog my memory. I think there's an Anakin Solo, I feel like, is a character. I know Jason has a sister. Don't remember exactly how it worked out. I know the novels at one point threw a planet at Chewbacca and killed him, which is some bullshit. So I'm glad that got wiped from existence. I lay all of this out because, like, if I wasn't reading the books, I was hooked in. Like, I was aware, vaguely at least, of what was going on there. Big message board kid, big website kid in the late 90s. I would go to a lot of fan sites and at least like read about this stuff and keep tabs on the Star Wars universe. But like a sieve, much of this has fallen through into, I guess to put it in Star Wars terms, into the Sarlacc pit. But is this knowledge gone forever, or will it someday come blasting out of the pit Boba Fett style? Who's to say? Here's a thing that I very much remember, and I remember vividly, to the point where I feel like I can recite this movie close to chapter and verse. The Phantom Menace. 1999 rolls around and Star Wars is back. You know, at this point, I've now seen the original trilogy in theaters because they did the re-releases, the special editions with all the new stuff. And I think it got even more it definitely got more controversial with more George Lucasian edits along the way. But I'd seen original trilogy in theaters at that point. I was stoked on that. And then they started, developing the prequels. And it's like, oh, shit. we're going to get some Star Wars here. This is going to be really fun. And I cannot get like that trailer out of my head, and seeing Darth Maul disrobing, you know, taking the hood off for the first time at the start of Duel of the Fates. Like I was beyond belief hyped up. I've never been more hyped up for a movie probably in my life. It's pretty close. You know, I could say, like, is it Avengers Endgame because I got so hooked into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Maybe to some degree that's competitive, but I'm an adult now. You know, this is like material that like it still excites me as an adult, but it probably doesn't excite me today as an adult if this kind of thing wasn't really engaging me super, super hard as a kid. Phantom Menace was that movie for me. I cannot be objective about The Phantom Menace. That is my Star Wars movie. It's The Phantom Menace. It's Episode 1. I have seen that movie. I don't know if I've seen it the most of all of the Star Wars movies overall. It is. It would be hard to imagine that that's not the case, though. And at the very least, it's the movie I saw in theaters the most. Because I saw The Phantom Menace in theaters in 1999 as a wee tot, a young lad, a youngling, if you were. 10 times in theaters. It was so popular for me. I think it was like 7th grade, maybe 8th grade at this point. 8th grade for sure. So 8th grade and a bunch of my friends and all the other kids in school, we were so obsessed with Phantom Menace, and it became like very competitive, like who's going to go and see Phantom Menace the most. And I timed all my bathroom breaks so I never missed any of my favorite parts. This is the sad thing, is 10 times in theater seeing Phantom Menace, I didn't win. I think I may have even not placed in the top three of people who saw Phantom Menace in my circle of friends, but I went as hard as I could. I really love the movie. I'm so excited to watch it again. I'm so excited to spend a few weeks talking Phantom Menace, because I don't think that it gets a bad rap. I think that the rap is probably to a large degree deserved, but it's such a source of joy for me. It's such a source of fun for me. I can't wait to get into Rob Sesternino doing a whole bunch of Watto impressions. I think he and I next week are going to be Wattoing back and forth at each other quite a bit. The Jar Jar stuff, I'll spare you my Jar Jar impression until it becomes truly relevant because it's scary. But I love The Phantom Menace. I know it's damaging. I know it's cheesy. I know it's corny as hell. I adore it. I'm not going to apologize for it. I love it. It's my Star Wars movie. That's the one. That was the one that was like, this was made for me. I get a new Star Wars movie. I'm a kid and I'm getting to enjoy this for the first time. It just blew me away. But then a couple of years later, I'm a little older. Girls are a thing. I'm you know, starting to become like a teenager and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, moving away a little bit from some of the things that excited me. Like, now I'm starting to like look towards like, what are some cool spy thrillers? What are the cool action movies? I'm not far away from my very deep 24 phase at this point. I think I'm like a year away from that. So that's like the headspace that I am in when I go and I see Attack of the Clones. I remember who I saw it with, 4 friends total, myself included. And we were all the people who were like, we were the ones who like, you know, we were reading the magazines, we were watching all the trailers, we were getting really hyped. And, you know, at this point, Obi-Wan has a beard, Ewan McGregor is starting to get, you know, he's making his Alec Guinness turn. And we went and it was happening live in the theater while the movie was happening, this sort of cold feeling in the pit of my stomach to not mix movies too much, movie metaphors too much, like getting like stung in the stomach by Shelob, Frodo Baggins style. As I came to realize, like, oh, I don't think I like this very much. Oh, I'm really not buying everything that's going on with Anakin and Padme Anakin. It just wasn't working. The sand. Of course, it gets everywhere. And even like Yoda showing up and rocking, keep on rocking in the free world with the first ever Yoda action scene. Even then, as like a 10th grader now at this point, I think, right? Because it's every 2 years is when these movies come out. Let's do a quick little Quick little look. Yeah, 2002. 2002 at this point. So 10th grader, I believe, is right. Maybe even 11th grade. And big oof from me. And so I've had a hard time because I know that there are definitely people who really like Attack of the Clones. And I wonder to what extent that comes down to people who've gone on to see the Clone Wars and, you know, a lot of the Dave Filoni animated series with Lucas involved as well. And how much does that redeem a lot of what goes down in Attack of the Clones? And then there's also people who just like really enjoy Attack of the Clones outright. I'm curious to get there. It's been a long time. I don't think I've seen this movie in probably like 5 years or so. So it's going to be, whereas The Phantom Menace, I'll try and watch Phantom Menace like once a year. Attack of the Clones, I haven't seen in a minute. So it was a cold water moment, right? It was a bit of a wake up call for me where I'm like, I didn't like that. We don't, you know, you don't need to see Yoda lightsaber battling it up. Like, that's just not a thing that I need. Revenge of the Sith comes around. I never fully got it. I think at that point, I'm still a little bit jaded. At this point, I'm in college early on. I think people are like, this is the one, this is the prequel, this is the one that redeems it. It's PG-13. And it just, it didn't quite hit for me as well. I definitely felt like it was better than Attack, but it just didn't knock my socks off. And it's been even longer, I think, since I've seen Revenge of the Sith from Attack of the Clones. No, you know what? I'm now realizing that I watched Phantom Menace, into Attack of the Clones, into Revenge of the Sith, all in one sitting on a very long airplane ride. Remember airplanes? I remember feeling still pretty cold by the whole thing. I was like glad to have a diversion on a long ass flight, but it still didn't do it for me. So that's my most recent experience. That was a couple of years ago. How are we going to feel about Revenge of the Sith going in? Well, the game plan is that by the time we get to Revenge of the Sith, you and me and whoever else comes through this podcast chamber, we're going to have spent some time in the Clone Wars, because we're going to do Phantom Menace, then Attack of the Clones, and then we're spending time on Clone Wars, the animated series, which I know people love, and I'm currently working my way through it, and I've really enjoyed myself. I haven't quite gotten to a place yet where, like, I need to binge every episode, like, I need to keep going. I try to get down, like, 5 episodes a week. I need to start picking up the pace there. If we're looking at Clone Wars, probably somewhere in the range of March is what we are looking at. So I promise I will get through Clone Wars by then. And I wonder how that's going to crystallize my feelings on at least Revenge of the Sith. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be fun. So I'm not a huge aficionado in the animated shows. I've been dabbling. I've seen a lot of the Mandalorian related stuff from Clone Wars. I think I've seen, in fact, every Mandalore episode that Clone Wars has. I watched all of those in anticipation of season 2 of The Mandalorian. But I'll watch those again, and I'm watching in the, there's the great Reddit thread that has this ultimate viewing guide. We will link to that in the show notes so that if you want to be watching Clone Wars, it's all on Disney Plus. You are supposed to watch it in a very specific order, and it's not the order in which the show came out. So a little bit of an undertaking. You got to keep track. Like, you probably got to take some notes. But from what I've seen, worth it. And if it gets a lot better from where I'm at, I'm entering my first big chunk of season 2. And I think that, I don't know if it's season 3 or wherever, I know that there's like an upgrade in the animation and the art style. So I'm really looking forward to all of that. What I'm really looking forward to is Star Wars Rebels, which was the animated successor to Clone Wars that I know people really love. And it feels like it has a more intentional story is probably the wrong way to describe it. As a layman, my understanding is you're following a really specific set of characters through a very specific set of story. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. I think that that's going to be really, 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 really super fun. And once we're through that, I think sandwiching Rebels, we're going to go through Solo. We're going to get through Rogue One. I think it's Solo into Rebels into Rogue One before we get to the original trilogy. And I'll tell you this, I have not seen Solo. I've never watched it. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and I'm going to go to Solo totally fresh, because I know that there's the stigma of, like, there was a lot of behind the scenes woes when it comes to Solo, that there were people who did not like it. But of course, there was also like the director switcheroo of Phil Lord and Chris Miller left in the middle of the project. They were fired. Ron Howard steps in, not to be confused with Round Howard, which is me. And I think that there are people who really love Solo. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. We'll go from that. We'll go into Rebels. We'll go into Star Wars Rogue One, which I know some people's hot take is that not only is Rogue One the best of the new Star Wars movies that's been produced, but some think it's the best Star Wars movie ever. That's a scorching take as far as I'm concerned, but I look forward to walking into that one and assessing it. When we're finished with that, then we go to the original trilogy. So we get to go back to my childhood, and I guess for many of you, we're probably going back to yours as well, talking about the three movies that were so foundational, not just for this franchise, but I think this type of storytelling overall. And by the time we are finished with the original trilogy, I think that's going to take us pretty close to the end of 2021. Where chronologically speaking, we would get up to The Mandalorian. Maybe we'll do a little bit more of some Mandalorian, reevaluation. Maybe it'll be a time to do some catch up. But we're going to be going from that. In December comes The Book of Boba Fett, new Disney Plus show. And I'm very interested in that because as somebody who loves Star Wars so much through action figures, I'm a big action figure nerd. I don't talk about it a lot, but I am. I love my toys. I loved Boba Fett purely as an action figure as a kid. And I think that they did a really great job of turning him into not just like a cool action figure, but an actual character over the course of The Mandalorian Season 2. And so to see what they're going to do with him when he gets his own show, I'm really intrigued. Very, very deeply so. So we're going to be there. December 2021 is the word on the street. Which means maybe some of you are thinking like, well, where does the new trilogy fit into this plan? Well, hey, as of right now, it doesn't. It doesn't fit into the plan. Look, my take on the new trilogy is this. More than anything, I kind of just don't want to talk about it. As a series, I don't like it. I'm not a fan of the new ones as a series, and that's for a lot of reasons. I think it's a lot of it is like decision making at the top, a lack of a unifying voice across the three movies. Feels like they kind of rushed into it without a firm game plan where they were making stuff up on the go. I think that there's definitely things to love, to like about those new movies, maybe even an entire movie, maybe even two entire movies to love in there, even if they're a little bit problematic. But I do just have some problems with the way that they came into existence. And even more so is that I think that the new trilogy became, at least as far as my experience as a Star Wars fan, and I think people who are deeper into the minds than I were, I would love to hear from you on this. There just became obviously like some toxicity surrounding Survivor. Wow, there's some PTSD. Some toxicity surrounding Star Wars at this point in time that I had never really encountered before, and it soured me a bit on Star Wars. Soured me a bit on just like the entire brand and not really wanting to re-engage it and not wanting to talk about it in any kind of a public forum because it's such a hot stove. But I think what pushed me back into it was The Mandalorian and The Mandalorian being so good. And we didn't podcast about the first season of The Mandalorian here on Post Show Recaps, both because that time of year for me was a big time of year. That was the late portion of 2019, a lot going on both personally and professionally at that time for me. But also, like, I did not feel like I wanted to dip into the Star Wars waters in any kind of professional capacity. But Mando blew me away. Baby Yoda, who we would come to know as Baby Grogu, blew me away. And I was so happy to get to talk about it on the podcast these past few months with Kevin Mahadeo and LaTanya Starks. Some really, really enjoyable podcasting with the two of them. And you, I assume you out there listening, many of you at least who listened to those podcasts, but started helping us to develop our own little Star Wars community in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. I believe it's the great Jankinator who's often saying that this is the best place on the internet to talk about Star Wars. I only talk about Star Wars in this corner of the internet, so I can't really attest to that theory beyond that, but I'll take it. And I got reinvigorated by season two of Mando. I got reinvigorated by the relationships that were developing with you out there listening to these podcasts. And then I got massively hyped up at the big Disney press day a few weeks back, where they announced all of their Star Wars plans, where it sounds like after Book of Boba Fett, we're going to be heading into 2022 and we're going to have a shit ton of Star Wars to be talking about. So I'm so psyched about that. And it was a big part of the reason why I wanted to keep the momentum going from Mando into this project. If we are looking at a possible future where in 2022, just about every single week is going to have something new in the Star Wars realm, I want to be there for that. And I want to have spent some time getting through all of the stuff, or at least a lot of the stuff, because to get through all of the stuff is just not possible, at least for me, as possible. To get those takes on the record and to refamiliarize myself with the universe, because I very much identify myself as I could not say I'm a super duper Star Wars fan. I don't even think I could say I'm a Star Wars super fan, but I love Star Wars. I am a Star Wars fan for sure. It's formative for me. I think the relationship I have with Star Wars is probably not dissimilar to many of you who are listening to this. They're definitely the people who've done the deep dives, but then they're the people like me who've just like watched these movies a bunch, have thought about these characters, have lived with these characters and the zeitgeist for so long. Let's spend some time with them and let's have fun, and let's use this as a canvas to have some good, deep analytical conversations as well. But chicanery, shenanigans, let's do that, you know? Why do I love Star Wars? It's simple. It's just, it's always been there. It's family. It's Luke, it's Leia, it's Han, it's Chewie, it's 3PO, it's R2, it's Yoda, it's Obi-Wan, it's Jabba even. It's even Darth Vader, it's Palpatine. Although Palpatine's losing a little bit of luster for me in memory. But whatever, you know, these are iconic figures, certainly from my life specifically, but also pop culture writ large, obviously. You know, they're seminal heroes and villains from my most formative years of learning about fiction and the power of high concept storytelling, let alone storytelling overall. And this goes for the world that the shows that the movies inhabit. You know, like, this is there's so much out there that, forget like the books that I name dropped and the cartoons that like I've, you know, just like vaguely kind of glossed over. They're so rich, and there are other books that I have no idea about, and video games that I haven't played, and so many different stories with all of these, you know, various planets and aliens and specific characters and specific storylines that so many people have become invested in. And I hope to become invested in that stuff too over the course of this journey. And I think overall, like, what I love the most about Star Wars is the possibility that comes from Star Wars. You know, these are some of the best storytelling building blocks that you got, because the world design, the creature design, the mythology, it's just so rich. It's got that huge cultural cachet. So you're always excited, even if it's like against your better interests. And maybe I should say I'm always excited, even if it's against my better interests and better instincts, for whatever like the next Star Wars thing is. Like, I'm always awaiting it with anticipation, specifically the movies. And like, that's even if it's fated to be bad outright, or maybe just a little bit meh or whatever. But I don't know, the anticipation that comes with Star Wars, that means so much to me. It's everything to me. You know, it's walking around Galaxy's Edge, which hopefully is a thing that people can do again safely at some point in the not terribly distant future, in this very galaxy. Not a long time to go for that, hopefully. Knock on all of the wood you've got. It's living in this world, it's breathing this world, and it's anticipating what this world is going to do next. Whether it's going to break your heart or it's going to fill your heart with joy, I'm thrilled to have it. So I love the universe of Star Wars, and I'm so happy that we have such a long time to go in this galaxy far, far away. So with all of that said, so that's why I love Star Wars, you know, and that's what Star Wars is to me. But what is Star Wars to you? This is a question that I threw out there ahead of this podcast because I wanted to have some discussion points before we launched into this great adventure. And this podcast is so much The reason we're doing, I can't stress enough, like, it's you guys who really invigorated me here and made it such a clear decision that, like, at least here in post-show recaps, we've got a good Star Wars community. I want to keep that going. I want to build that. I'll also note, though, the second that this gets, like, deeply toxic and, like, problematic in a way that, like, we can't all just, like, settle down and resolve it, like, I'm not going to be here for that. So let's all play it cool. You know, I would really love it if we could just be cool. I genuinely believe Star Wars is for everybody. If you have, like, a deep understanding of the full lore, that's awesome. If you've read all the stuff, that's great. But if you haven't, and if you're suddenly here in the year 2021 and you're encountering Star Wars for the first time and then you decide that you love it, that doesn't make you any less of a Star Wars fan than the other person that I just described. And, like, the gatekeeping stuff that's involved in Star Wars, I hate it. It's just such a pet peeve of mine as somebody who's immersed in this world, and by this world, I mean, like, the pop culture space. So the second that gets out of hand, I think pragmatically and realistically, I know some of that's coming. Somebody out there who's listening to this right now is going to hear a podcaster with a take that they don't like on one of these episodes. And you're going to write a strongly worded email that will quickly get deleted. So save your energy. And, like, something, like, mean and hurtful. And why do that? Let's not do that. This is a love fest. Let's have fun. Let's educate people. We want that education. If we get, like, a name pronunciation wrong or a detail wrong, or if you want to clarify points of clarification, I love that. I live for that. I want to know more because it's going to be impossible for me to read and watch every single thing that Star Wars has to offer. We very much want that. But the vast majority of my experience with starting Star Wars podcasting here on Post Your Recap says I cannot stress enough. Like 99.999% overwhelmingly positive. So I wanted to turn it to a bunch of the people who've been contributing to the discourse as it surrounds Star Wars here on Post Your Recaps and ask the question of them, what is Star Wars? What is Star Wars to you? And I think we had some great answers, so I am going to read them. And I'll start very simply with Todd the Librarian. The great Todd the Librarian writes in and says, Star Wars is my childhood. And that's it. And that's all Todd wrote. And a lot of people have a lot of word soup coming up, or word blue milk, as it were. And it's all very good. But I think Todd, very succinct, you know, Star Wars is for many of us. It's our childhood. This comes from David Maloney, the great Drayson in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. Drayson writes, Star Wars is both a relatively modern reimagining of the old adventure serials that George Lucas left as a kid, through the lens of the monomyth of the hero's journey and the most significant intellectual property of the late 20th century, which transformed cinema and merchandising forever. To that point, this is me now talking. I think that that's absolutely true. Like, there was a conversation. I can't remember if it was on the record on a podcast or if it was just with somebody else of, like, even if, like, the new Star Wars movies are, like, polarizing, let's call it, at best, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for the people who have found it, have, like, basically unilaterally, with the exception of a few movies, are just, like, A++++. Even that being said, Star Wars is the thing, right? Like, not everybody knows that there's going to be a Moon Knight show coming up, you know, like, not everybody knows who Pepper Potts is, you know, but, like, the critical characters of Star Wars, you know, you like Star Wars, you can name C-3PO, you can identify a person very quickly, and you will know who we're talking about. Although, to that point, as a just sort of a litmus test to, like, gauge everybody's Star Wars fandom, in the Discord I posted a picture of Darth Vader. And I guess this is a spoiler about the Darth Vader storyline. If you haven't seen Star Wars and you've gotten this far and I've lightly spoiled some stuff to the point of, like, you know, deeply spoiling some stuff, maybe you don't know this and you're not going to want to hear it. So I'm just giving you some room. Darth Vader is he's Luke Skywalker's dad. Yeah, he's Anakin Skywalker, and he's the main character of the prequels, and he's in the Clone Wars, and you're going to get to meet him if you haven't met him yet. But I posted a picture of Darth Vader, kind of an iconic character, right? He's kind of an iconic guy. He's got the black helmet, the James Earl Jones voice. He's got, like, the cool helmet. He's got the lightsaber. He breathes. He does the whole, you know, you've heard him. You know what he sounds like. You know what he looks like. So I posted a picture of Darth Vader in the Post-Show Recaps Patreon Discord just to see if people knew who that was. Here are some of the answers we got from Ralphie G. Said, oh, well, that's Lord Voldemort. First of all, I apologize for saying the name out loud. Our Philly, Rich Filiberto, wrote in and said, oh, that's Banksy. And if that's Banksy, I think it's kind of messed up that you're doxing him, Rich. We've got to reference Jankinator again. Jankinator cracked me up with, that's Bane. It's not Bane, but they do sound sort of similarly digitized. And then the one that triggered me the most was from my Mandalorian co-host, Kevin Mahadeo, who said, Darth Vader, well, that guy, that's Hayden Christensen. And technically that's right. But that's a thing to get into for another time. Some other descriptions of what is Star Wars and what does Star Wars mean to the listeners of Post-Show Recaps and A Long Time to Go. This is once again from Fitzy. Fitz says, Star Wars is my happy place. That's the real answer. It's the first entertainment franchise I can remember following as a child that I still care so emotionally deeply about as an age-redacted adult man-child. It's adventure. It's escape. It's something that's brought some of my greatest movie-going memories and biggest, nerdiest arguments I've ever had with friends to life. Star Wars is a constant. And I want to give a big shout out to Fitzy, who is compiling feedback for this podcast. And I also want to shout out the great Ben Kenobi behind the curtain, Ben Martell, who is my constant on Lost Down the Hatch alongside myself and the great Mike Bloom. Both Fitz and Ben Martell are deeply responsible for making things run behind the scenes on these podcasts. So if you can give them a shout, I strongly recommend you do. Give those guys a round of applause. They're fantastic. This is a funny one. This is from Stefan Johnson. A 5.4 is what I would give Stefan. Stefan had a great take that Star Wars is that restaurant you go to with the best burger in town, but it also gives you food poisoning half the time. Which, you know, certain interpretations, I think that is very true. You indulge in, it's not even that you've indulged in too much Star Wars. You had one Star Wars, and that was it. That poisoned the well for a good little while. This is from Eric Divestein. He writes, Star Wars is an open-ended sandbox universe with nearly unlimited possibilities for stories, whether movies, books, comics, or games. Some of these stories have been great. Others, less so. But the appeal for me has always been the vast amount of potential. There's that P word again, and I'm not talking Padawan or Palpatine. Potential, I think, is for me, guys, it's the secret sauce of this stuff. That's what's running through the veins of Star Wars for me. This is from Ted. Ted writes in, to me, Star Wars is about family, whether that's biological families like the Skywalkers and Palpatines or the surrogate families built along the way, bound together in the fight for the greater good, like Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie, Rey and Finn and Poe, or the Phoenix Squadron in Star Wars Rebels. I didn't know that they were called the Phoenix Squadron. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. In the vein of family, in the spirit of talking about that, this is from Katakuri, who is prolific in the Discord. Katakuri responsible for, we posted these during the Mandalorian podcasts and our Mandalorian show notes, a suggested watch list of episodes from both Clone Wars and Rebels that would get you hooked up on Mandalore lore, even if you weren't hip to that stuff from having watched all the cartoons. So shout out to Katakuri, who wrote this. Katakuri says, growing up in a small mining town in South Wales in the 70s, to me and my pals, Star Wars was an escape. I drifted away from it when life got in the way for maybe 30 plus years until The Mandalorian Season 1 wholly relit my Star Wars flame. It's an escape again. Last year was crap all around for everybody. Of course, referring to 2020 from Katakuri, but Katakuri continues. But mine began in the hospital with my daughter being rushed in on her 14th birthday. She spent 7 months there. And despite being home since August, she's still going through stuff related to the initial problem. Stupidly, says Category, I think that without the escape of Star Wars I accidentally fell into months earlier, I honestly would have gone mad during the nights that I sat awake at her bedside. Category says that's probably TMI, but I don't think so. I think that that is a huge piece of this for me, is like, there are, you know, it doesn't matter how much of it you engage. I think that that's the power of fiction, if we just want to go there, that I think like a really good story, a story well told, a deep story, can become like a simultaneous world that you're living in. And when the real world can be such dog shit sometimes, or Bantha Poodoo, to quote my favorite Doug Sebulba, I think it's important to have this stuff. I really, really do. I know that's cheesy and lame and whatever, but I do believe it. I do mean it. And I think that because Star Wars is so vast and so rich, it's got that potential to heal you during, times of crisis. So thank you, Category, for sharing that. All my best wishes to you and your family and your daughter, and to anyone else who may find themselves in a similar situation in the time that we're living right now. If the podcast provides an escape for you, that's amazing. If Star Wars writ large is doing that, that's fantastic. Whatever it is, I think it's important to find those. I don't think that it's nothing. I think that there's a lot to be said for escapism as self-care, in moderation, of course. So then I asked everybody, what are your hot Star Wars takes? What's something about Star Wars that, like, you're going to say it's going to be controversial? Are we going to get into a big fight, or are we going to be able to keep it cool? And I will admit, it got a little heated. We started getting into new trilogy stuff, and the conversation started taking a little bit of a turn. And so I'm going to say it here for the sake of the podcast. If you become a member of the Discord, or if you already are, just keep the rhetoric like relatively chill. You know, let's go with the Battlestar Galactica frack instead of the traditional Earth 1 F-bomb. If we could deploy frack instead, I think that that's probably just going to help people know that we're all like, no one's directing ire at anybody, and instead we're just raging out about the various things that make us rage out. But let's just be measured. Let's watch the tone, everybody. Speaking of that, like, something that could probably, like, kick a hornet's nest was this take from Jankinator, who wrote, Star Wars was always bad. And when Jank wrote that, that cracked me up, because I think that there's some truth to that. Even in the first one, the Ewok stuff is ridiculous, even if it works for me. But I think that the first two are pretty untouchable, but there's probably elements in both of those that are bad, right? That are weird, that are not so good. I don't know. Let's explore that a little bit more. I'd like to litigate that more in future conversations and future podcasts. This is from Ralphie G, and I think that this is going to be something that we can get into in the next few weeks. Ralphie posits, Jar Jar Binks is a secret Sith, and that is why he gave emergency powers to Emperor Palpatine. I know that there's the very extensive theory online that Jar Jar Binks was supposed to be the true villain of the prequel trilogy. If you haven't encountered that, I recommend you look into it. It's pretty wild. It's a wild ride, and gotta be honest, I think I subscribe to it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I want to shout out Eric Divestein once again, because he's got the take that I agree with the most, even if it's a hot take. Phantom Menace, says Eric Divestein, is the best prequel. Chef's kiss, Eric Divestein. That is exactly it. Meanwhile, Michael O'Rear writes in and says, besides some wonky writing and acting amongst lovers and needless droid humor, Attack of the Clones is really entertaining and fun. The gladiator battle, Obi-Wan versus Jango, the iconic cinematography coming out party for Yoda as a master swordsman, it all makes this movie one of the most exciting films in the franchise. Okay. To each their own. I look forward to seeing, Michael, if you're right. I'll go in as open-hearted as humanly possible as we get into that. This is from the great Torbjorn Fraser. Shout out to Torby. Torby says this. Oh, this is this is wild. Torby's hot take is Han Solo has the Boba Fett effect on steroids. He's a shittily written character that has big 13-year-old boy who's never talked to a girl energy that's only kind of carried by how good Harrison Ford is as an actor. Scorching hot take from Torby, taking down Han Solo here in podcast number one. I don't really know how to feel about any of that. I gotta think about that. I guess Torby's not a fan of Solo. Maybe Solo just morphed some things for Torby, but we can expand upon that the deeper we get into A Long Time to Go, Torbjorn. Okay, and then this is from DJ LK, speaking of newer movies, because we're talking about Solo. DJ LK says, Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi, and Disney acquiring Star Wars is the best possible thing that could have happened to it long term. We just have had to survive this adjustment phase. I think that that's an interesting take. Did we need a rough go with that first, with the new sequel trilogy in order to get us to the place where Mando is popping the way that it is? And for those who don't know, like, so Disney Plus has so many things that are announced. Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, an Obi-Wan Kenobi show. There's The Acolyte, which is set during a period of Star Wars time that I think is just starting to get explored in some books. The High Republic. There's just there's the Ahsoka Tano show is coming out. There's the New Republic show that's coming out. There's another cartoon, The Bad Batch. Like, we're just like moving in to insane, staggering amounts of content. And I think that that's mostly exciting. I think that that is mostly exciting. Of course, I think with Star Wars, you do have to have some measure of concern because it is a highly subjective experience. You know, you ask, what is Star Wars? I guess I'm the one who asked, what is Star Wars? And what is Star Wars is it's a highly subjective experience. Sometimes you love it. Sometimes you hate it. Sometimes it breaks your heart. Sometimes it fills your cup. You know, it does all of those things. And we don't know what that's going to look like with sort of like this prolific output from Disney Plus, with additional movies that are coming out down the line. I'm hard pressed to imagine a world where Taika Waititi, who's making a Star Wars movie and made Thor Ragnarok one of the best movies in the action adventure space in modern memory, how is that going to be bad? How is a Patty Jenkins Rogue Squadron movie going to be bad? These things are possible, but that's the word again, huh? Possibility. It's all about possibility. And whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing, we just don't know. But we can live in it, or we can choose to live in it. You can also choose to shut off the podcast and turn off your Star Wars brain from now until those shows come out. But I want to live in this world a little bit. I want to get to know it better. I want to reacquaint myself with something that's very formative for me. And I hope that you do too. I think that this is going to be fun. We're going to have so many different people on here. And that's one of my favorite things about this, is that it's just going to be like rotating voices, lots of people giving lots of different takes. We'll agree with some, we'll disagree with others. Let's keep it cool and let's have a blast. Let's take it seriously, but not too seriously. I think that there's a line. I think we can find it. I'm looking forward to finding that with all of you. And that's beginning next week. Phantom Menace, the Phantom Menace recap. It's with Rob Cesternino. It is coming your way on January 14th. And then we'll be in Phantom Menace mode for the rest of January. So if you want to watch it with me, again, I'm going to be watching it on Saturday, January 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. Give or take a few minutes, there's actually another live event that's occurring in the Discord shortly before that Phantom Menace watch. Community building, if you're interested in that. That's our community podcast that we are going to be launching on the main feed here in just a couple of weeks. But we are currently doing as a patron exclusive. We're having a live community show in the Discord on Saturday, January 9th at 1 p.m. At 11 a.m. Eastern. And then at 1 p.m. Eastern, Star Wars The Phantom Menace. I'll be watching it. Sometimes I do weird things during these watch-longs. I've been known to attempt feats of strength. I've been known to hide under blankets for minutes at a time. I think it's going to be a good time. So I hope to see you there. And if I don't see you there, and that will be because you didn't go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps to sign up. You know, I get it. That's fine. I'll see you around these parts, right? We've got a feedback channel, StarWars@postshowrecaps.com. That's the email. We want to hear from you there. Send your stuff in. I want to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Round Howard, like Ron Howard, but didn't direct Solo. I would love to hear from you there. And of course, if you want to subscribe, postshowrecaps.com/Star Wars. This podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Ratings and reviews greatly appreciated as we are getting going here. Before we close out, I want to give a quick thanks to our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps. Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. With all of that said, we're going to close out the podcast here. I want to give a big shout out to the great Corey B, responsible for our Long Time to Go theme song. Take it away, Corey B, and we'll be back next week with our Phantom Menace recap. A long time to go.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.